Amen. Can we have just a little bit of a survey here? Who takes a nine in a shoe? Put your hands up. The ladies take smaller sizes than that. All right, so I don't think you'll enter this one. Anybody takes a size 10? Yes, got several there. Ooh, look, we've got a young lad at the back there. You're going to be, you know, sort of big in the foot, aren't you? Just don't put it in your mouth, all right? Good. All right, John. Anybody 11s? Oh, we've got 11 there, we've got 11. Anybody 12s? We've got a 12 here. Anybody, should I say, 13? No? Adam, from Canada, if he was here, he'd probably beat you, George, I don't know. But can I have a look at them, George? Just don't take your shoes off, but come and show everybody how big a foot you've got.
It's the mouth you
want to
see.
Oh, well, they don't look all that big.
No, they don't.
You put yours there, on there. Oh, yes. Look at the size. I take a size 9. Look at the size of that.
No problem with the heads, mate.
Did you play football?
Did one.
All right. I wouldn't like to get in your way. Thanks, George. I've entitled this message Operation Bigfoot. Operation Bigfoot. And you know, a few years ago, well, quite a lot of years ago, our esteemed brother Paul Whittingham would know all about this. And Colin, is Colin Angel here? Yes. Well, we took a team to Spain in 1990. 20 years ago. And this is the t-shirt that I wore. It doesn't fit me now. But on the front, we had the motto of a giant foot. Can you see that? And it was a mission to Spain. And Paul and Colin and it was a team of 11. We went to Spain. And our sort of vision was to every place that your foot stands on, we claim it for the Lord Jesus. And we had a fantastic time in Spain. Costa del Sol, in a little place called Nuerca. There's a pastor there, he's still there, and his wife, a Spanish pastor, and an American, his wife. And they've been working for God there for you know, 20-odd years. And we took that scripture, Joshua chapter 1, what verse is it? 8, that's right. We took that as a sort of word from God. And I want us to take that this morning, you know, as a word from God, that you, in your life, can be conquerors. You can just walk wherever you walk, even round the streets, even round your neighborhoods. You can claim it for the Lord Jesus. We're going to read from verse 1. And if you have your Bibles, it's Joshua chapter 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You will have good success. It's good. It's a fantastic book, this. And I count it a privilege to preach on the first chapter, because there's some verses there that people have took for years as sort of promises from God. And just to look at a little bit of a background to this book and to the person Joshua, the son of Nun. He was born in Egypt. He was born a prince of the tribe of Ephraim. His style of leadership, compared to the style of Moses, was quite different. He was more of a military leader. Moses was more of a judge, because he judged the people. Moses lived for 120 years. Would you like to live for 120 years? Yeah. Bradley's nodding. And it says that his eyesight didn't go dim, and his vigor, his strength, was just the same as it was when he was younger. And that's fantastic. What a man. And how appropriate was this handover of leadership, because of the timing that God had. God knows the right timing. And the timing, friends, is that they were going to cross this Jordan. The history is that they had that opportunity 40 years earlier. They had that opportunity to cross the Jordan and to enter the promised land. But as you know, those 12 spies, 10 were bad, 2 were good, Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb, he was a mighty man of God, and Joshua excelled. It says in the previous verse in Deuteronomy 34, it says that, you know, Joshua, in verse 9, Joshua the son of Nun, who was full of the spirit of wisdom, full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. And I think that's very important, that we don't lose the impartation of laying on of hands as a church, because we believe that God can use people to impart, especially when it comes to appointing leadership. And so we are moving on this morning, and we are looking at the steps of faith. Steps of faith. And what is needed to take those steps of faith? Because your land, the land that is before you, is a spiritual land. It's not a physical dominance of land. It's a realm of the spirit. And it's defeating the enemies in our life. So Canaan is a picture of our inheritance in God. And every believer, every born-again believer, has an inheritance. You know, God has given you, given me, such a wealth. Such a mighty wealth of spiritual blessings. Read Ephesians. It says God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You might think you're seated there this morning, but You're not really. You're in heavenly places, or you ought to be in heavenly places in Christ. And the first Operation Bigfoot step is steps of faith need conviction. Or a calling. A conviction and a calling. In other words, it needs a firm belief. You see, Joshua still believed that this is what God wanted for his people. 40 years earlier, he was chosen to go in and spy out the land. And I believe that a strong belief was still there in Joshua. All those years, he knew that God was going to bring them into that place. And I want to say that God is wanting to bring you into a wonderful place, a place of communion, a place of blessing, a place of intimacy with God. And your life, your Christian life, that's all it's about, friends. That's all it's about. And when we seek to turn away from that pathway of intimacy with God, drawing near to God, getting to know God, it says that Moses knew him face to face. He knew God intimately. He knew when God wanted him to do something. He heard God. And we, if we want to take those steps of faith, we need to hear God. We need to hear God's calling. We need to have a conviction in our hearts that this is what we're about. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Let's delight in the Lord. Jesus did. He delighted. "I delight to do your will, O my Father." So the steps of faith need a conviction and a calling. We're all called, friends. We're called to serve the Lord. We're all called to live a holy life. We're called to be his children. And that conviction should come to us and be so strong that we will step out in faith. The second step is the steps of faith need confidence. Confidence. Our confidence needs to be in God. It doesn't need to be in our ability or our charisma. The makeup, you know, of who we are. It's not in because you're a good speaker. Don't rely on that. Don't rely on, you know, the things that we are in a natural sense. I believe God can use them. But we need to rely in confidence in God. It says God is choosing or has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty. Are you following in your Father's footsteps? You've heard that phrase, haven't you? Family businesses. If you have a son or a daughter, you have a business, you'd like them to follow in it. And inherit the business. Examples of earthly fathers. Some people have said to me in times past, "Well, you're just like your father." Now, that could be good, or that could be bad. Depends who you are. For me, it was good. I have his mannerisms. So they say. But you know, we're walking in our Father's footsteps, our spiritual Father, our Father in heaven. We're walking in his footsteps. We're going his ways. We're doing what he would do. That's what we mean. Have confidence in God. Also, it is enough that God has spoken and promised. It was enough for Joshua. It was enough for Joshua to know that God has spoken to him. It was enough for Joshua for the promises of God to come to pass. It was enough. Is it enough for you? And for me, is it enough for you that God has spoken? Because that's what we have to act on, the spoken word of God. We can't say, well, I don't think this is my ministry. Changing nappies is not my ministry. As Carol knows. But you know, just because you think this is not my ministry, I want to say we should be prepared to do anything that God asks us to do. And not be so selective. You know, it's like these people who say, well, you know, I had a previous life. And it always is somebody famous. It's never, you know, I was a you know, sort of a cleaner in Tesco's. You know, it's always somebody great. You know, we've got to realize that whatever God asks us to do, whether it's great in the eyes of people, whatever he says, we do it. It's enough that he has spoken to us. And what he's spoken to you, that should be enough. Also, thirdly, God has given us all the resources we need to do the job. Joshua, he'd spent a lot of time with Moses. He'd seen the miracles. He was there when the Red Sea was rolled back and they walked across it on dry land. He'd seen Moses doing all those miracles in Egypt. He'd seen it. He'd been with Moses. Moses had groomed him for that purpose of following on. It says in Deuteronomy that he inaugurated him. He had an inauguration. In other words, he had a sort of dedication service that all the people would see that he was going to follow Moses. So this wasn't a shock to the people of God in Joshua, that he was the one to follow on from Moses. It wasn't a shock. But he had all the resources. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua, you can expect the same amount of power, of commitment, of provision that I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. You know, it says there that, I know we've been talking about the prodigal son, and it says there about the elder brother. The father said to him, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours, God said to us, God saying to us, all that he has is ours. It's all yours. It's always been yours. And friends, you know, there's nothing really much else God can do for us. He's given us the provisions. He's given us the resources. Within every one of us who are filled with the Spirit is a dynamic resource. We just haven't cultivated and experienced and allowed the Holy Spirit to move in us in a way that the Spirit overcomes our soul, our flesh. Because it's the flesh that always comes against us. 2 Peter 1:3 says, as his divine power has given to us, what? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything I need is in God. Everything you need is in God, friends. That's my confidence. That's your confidence. Take hold of it this morning. Take hold of that conviction, that calling. We're called. We're ambassadors of God. We should walk down the street, friends, sticking our chest out, not in arrogant pride, but proud to be a son of God. Proud to be a daughter of God. Not afraid of what man may say. conviction, calling, and confidence in God. Walk in confidence, knowing that whatever step you take in faith, He will meet us. He will be with us. Steps of faith need also, thirdly, a commitment. Steps of faith need commitment. Joshua took the steps that were needed, and he encouraged the people to do the same. This guy had been waiting 40 years. He must have been itching to get over this Jordan. He'd been waiting 40 years for this moment. He says, in 3 days, to the people, you're going to cross this Jordan. You're going to enter in to the purposes of God for you as a nation. Joshua, as a leader, took the steps that were needed. Let's just read it. Verse 10, it says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through this camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord our God is giving you to possess it. It was the word that God gave to Abraham. It was the word that God said, lift up your eyes as far as you can see, and mentioned his descendants. Friends, I want to say Israel's in the right place. I want to say that Israel, from what this word of God says, Israel has every right to be where they are. They have every right. You read the scriptures. Let's read one, just to clarify that. Bear with me. I think it's important that we do it. Yeah. It says here that it says, every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. This is in Deuteronomy. You see, you've got to understand that Joshua is very similar to the book of Acts. Because Joshua has snippets of the 5 books previous. So wrapped up in Joshua, just like Acts, you have the planting of different churches. You know, and then you have Ephesians, which was a church, Colossians, etc. And Joshua is similar to Acts, very much so. In its historical fact as well, history, and what came to pass. And it says, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. So God clearly marks out the territory that they should have. And friends, we need to pray for Israel. We need to pray that God keep his hand. He would keep his hand upon Israel. And God's purposes will come to pass. And they will have that land. They will. They'll have that land. Temple site. They'll have that again. It'll all be restored. Amen. Steps of faith need commitment. Joshua had commitment. He waited 40 years for this moment. Faith does not supersede precaution and preparation where this is possible. But it doesn't rely on it. It doesn't rely on precaution. It doesn't rely on preparation. But sometimes that's needed to prepare. Sometimes to prepare is essential. And even to take precautions is essential, even in moving in God. We're not blindly led by faith. But we don't rely on that. We rely on the living God. And in verses 10 to 15, Joshua relates the steps that he needed to take. And if you read that chapter, you'll find, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and he's talking to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh. And it's very interesting to establish this before we hear in the next few weeks that these two tribes, two and a half tribes, Moses had already given them that land. And they'd been living in that land on the east of Jordan. On the east side of Jordan. So they were living in the promised land, their promised land. And as we see that Joshua asks them to do something very, very important. And we'll see that. And they were to prepare provisions. It says there, arm yourself. Arm yourself. We can all think of this in a spiritual element. Arm yourself. And he gave special instructions to those who were resting on the east of Jordan. And this is what he asks. This is what I mean by commitment. He asks these two and a half tribes. He asks the warriors. He asks the soldiers there. Fight for your brethren until they, not you, until they have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Did they obey? Turn to Joshua 22. Let's find out. Verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, two and a half, and said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days, up to this day, but you have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren as he promised them. Now therefore, return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession. Hallelujah. What a commitment. What an unselfish commitment that was. They had to leave family, possessions. They had to leave everything. The east side of Jordan. And go in and fight for others. Isn't that not what God has called us to do? To fight for the souls and to the lives of others. To fight the good fight of faith. To lay hold, not just for ourselves, for what wonderful experiences we can get. It's to save the lost. It's to edify and build up your brother and sister in the Lord. And these guys were prepared to leave their families, their possessions, their nice way of living, and go and risk their lives and fight beside their brothers and sisters. They obeyed. What a commitment to obey. That's what the Lord commanded them to do. Steps of faith that need commitment. The fourth thing is, and I've got five, steps of faith need courage. Steps of faith need courage. Be strong and good. Have a good courage. It does say good courage. You can have bad courage. You can have courage to do somebody harm. You can be courageous in working evil. But it says good courage. Good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 6. You know, if you want to walk on water, what do you have to do? Get out the boat. There's no way you're going to walk on water if you're in the boat. Like, you know, it's not a simulation. You know, sort of like these video games. You know, it simulates what you can do. There's a lot of that today, isn't there? Even in the church. You know, we do a lot of talking, don't we? We do a lot of talking that we're going to take this land for Jesus. You know? I remember singing that song lots of years ago as a young lad. We will take this land for Jesus. We will take it in his name. And have we? Be honest, have we took it? Well, God's looking at the church and he's expecting the church, not just our church, but the church in this land to rise up, join together and do something. Do something of impact. Yes, you've got to get out the boat. Peter was jumping out the boat. Was it an act of faith or stupidity? Would you jump out of the boat in the middle of the ocean without a life jacket? No. That was because of the spoken word. It's because Jesus said, come. And that was our first point, that we've got to have a conviction. We've got to take steps that rely on the call of God. Peter heard the call of God to come, walk on the water. Was Peter scared? Yeah. I bet he was. I would be. And it got overpowering, wasn't it? And he saw and he started to sing, but he did walk on water. He did walk on the water. And it was an act of faith. And David, it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. That word, encouraged, courage. That's what you do when you encourage people, you give them courage. Encouragement is to impart courage to them. That's encouragement. In 1 Samuel 36 says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. They were going to stone him. They were going to kill him. And he turned to God and he encouraged himself in the Lord. We can do that, friends. We can do that. We can do that every day. We can do that. We can encourage ourselves. Are you working on a project? Are you working in the youth? Are you working with the women? Are you working with the men? Encourage yourself in the Lord. This is what God's called us to do. Let's go for it. You know? Let's do this. Because he's given us everything that we need. Realize, get your eyes off numbers, get your eyes on God. Get your eyes on through faith, knowing that he's got everything that we need. And in the scriptures it says, aware we can encourage ourselves. Be filled, Ephesians 5, 18, 19. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself. You know, the world says that's madness. When you speak to yourself. But we do it all the time, don't we? How many people speak to themselves? Everybody. Some don't, but... but you do. And there is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, friends. Speaking to yourself. At least you get some sense, don't you? And you get agreement, yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. But yeah, encourage yourself by singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Memorize scripture, friends. Memorize it. A lost art today. I want to say, the youth group that Cliff Owen and I ran at Bishop Auckland Church, we set a target to the young people to learn. And there was about 100 verses of the Bible. You know? And I think there was only one girl that did it. She came out, she recited all these quality verses. It was in her. It was part of her. I want to say memorizing scripture is very vital. And the scripture, when you might not have a Bible, you quote scripture to yourself. You know, I will bless the Lord at all times. What? His praise will continually be in my mouth. That's what you can say on Monday morning when you go into work. When the boss has given you a hard time. You know, when things are going wrong at work or in the family. I will bless the Lord at all times. Even now. And you bless him. And you know, you grow. You're lifted from that heaviness. And you come into a new area, a new dimension. The freedom in the Lord. Amen. Last one. Number 5. Steps of faith need confession. Steps of faith need confession. Joshua confessed. He confessed that in 3 days they would cross over this Jordan. Of course, in chapter 3, it gives us an account of that crossing. They did cross over. They did enter the promised land. And we look forward to that ministry. 3 days they will cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. Confession. Confess it, friends. What God has said, the promises of God in this word of God, confess them. The promises. God has promised that he will do these things. And if we verbally, whether it's on your own or with friends, Christian friends, but most essentially when you're on your own, confess it. Confess that what God is saying to you and what has God shown you. In Matthew 10:32 it says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. So there's a type of confession. Jesus says, if you confess me, I'll confess you before my Father. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight of faith, friends. Lay hold on eternal life. You've got to lay hold on it. You know, it reminds me of the rugby match. You know, when the tackle goes in, they lay hold. They don't half lay hold on people. You know, these big guys, you know, just grab hold of the legs and bring them down. Lay hold. So there's no escape. I have eternal life. There's no way I'm going to lose it. Now, that's not being pompous and proud. The Word of God says that you have eternal life when you believe on Jesus Christ. You have it. You don't wait for it, you have it now. Throbbing in your being is eternal life. In me, eternal life. I'm never going to die. I'll die, this body might die, and go in the grave. Oh, I want to be buried, Carol, all right? I haven't told her that, so I don't want to be burnt, all right? I like a cool place. I don't. I've spent my lifetime in hot places. Anyway, fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We need to confess a good confession. Is your confession good? in your home, in your neighbourhood, at work, in the church? Is your confession of faith a good one? Are we confessing the goodness of God in the land of the living? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us sit. Let us not keep quiet. Let's not have button lips about the goodness of God. But God is there to help us. These are the steps. Steps of conviction, the calling of God. Second one, let's have steps of faith. What to do? To have good confidence in God. Let our confidence in the Master. Let's walk in his footsteps. Let's have big feet, friends. Steps of faith, of commitment. Amen. Make a big commitment. I'm committed to this. Whether I sink or swim, I'm committed. Steps of courage. Courage yourself today in the Lord. And steps of faith, which is confession. Declare it. Confess it in your private life, in your prayers. Confess.